Hey, everybody. Welcome to Peck Report today. Glad to be with you. Glad to be talking to you. Hope you're doing well. I am your host, Josh Peck. For most of human history, demon possession, that kind of thing, dealing with evil spirits, dealing with the devil, essentially, was always a part of medicine, but it's not really so much anymore. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It depends on how you look at it. Many Catholics still perform exorcisms. Many evangelical type of Christians, will do deliverance ministries and things like that. Where's the line between demon possession and actual medicine? Should there be a line at all? And what's the history of this? And what does this have to do with the last days? Because if there's going to be a return to paganism, is there going to be, because this is done in pagan cultures as well, is there going to be a return to a time where evil spirits are thought to cause certain diseases? Or are we going to spin even further and further away from that? So that is the question that we'll be discussing today on Peck Report. If you haven't had a chance to do so, make sure you subscribe to this channel. Please click the bell and visit joshpeckdisclosure.com. Make sure you visit often because it is consistently, every day, multiple times throughout the day, updated. Also, everything on this channel is now in podcast form. Go to joshpeckdisclosure.com. Disclosure.com and click the podcast tab, and it'll show you right there. It'll show you the list and where you can subscribe. So you can get that on iTunes. You can get that on, it is a blog talk radio podcast. So if you listen to shows like Hagman and Hagman, anywhere you can find Hagman and Hagman, you're going to be able to find my show too. So everything that we do on here, we have short podcasts that are only 10, 20 minutes long, but we also have much longer ones that are 3-4 hours long. So for all of your podcast needs, anything that you want, if you only have a couple of minutes or if you have a lot of time, that is the place to go. So make sure you do that. All right. So alternet.org has put out this study, this report on dealing with the devil, that it's been long been a part of medicine. And reports of demonic possession are once again on the rise, which is strange. But during the devil's last apogee in early modern Europe, demonic afflictions were taken seriously by both priests and physicians. Now we're gonna focus a little bit on the Catholic Church and how they deal with it, because they have a lot of ways of dealing with it that are quite different from us. For evangelicals, we typically just pray in the name of Jesus to get rid of a demon, because that's all you really need to do. It might involve fasting. I mean, there's a biblical precedence for that, certainly. But with the rosary and the little prayer book and the smoke and all that stuff, I don't personally believe it's needed. I think the best way to go is to use the name and authority in Jesus, cast out the demon. You can actually even stop alien abduction scenarios that way too. But because there's a demonic element behind those as well. You can stop sleep paralysis that way. Jesus is like the cure-all for this kind of stuff. So it's important to know that. But at the same time, because Catholics are most famous or infamous, depending on how you look at it, for dealing with demon possession today and equating it with certain illnesses, that's why we want to look at that. We want to look at what is going on. So 30 children in Amsterdam began to show signs of a disturbing affliction in the winter of 1566, and the symptoms would strike without warning. So the children would at first be seized by a violent frenzy and then fall to the ground, their bodies racked with painful convulsions. And once the fits had passed, the children reported no memory of them. And this already looked like the work of the devil to the people at the time, but any lingering doubts were put to rest when the children began vomiting strange objects like pins and shards of glass. They were experiencing, it seemed, a mass demonic possession. Multiple exorcisms would be attempted, but not before first exhausting the expertise of physicians, who often worked alongside ecclesiastical healers to mitigate the effects of such demonic assaults. Now, shortly afterward, in the nearby Duchy of Cleve, the learned physician Johann Weyer read about this mass possession, reaching him through the account of the chancellor in Gelderland. His interest was professional. Weyer himself did not believe that strange objects had actually been vomited up, but he did not question that reliable authorities had witnessed this happen. Neither did he deny diabolical agency. Instead, he reinterpreted the scope of demonic powers to emphasize the devil's long-standing status as a master trickster. The extraordinary regurgitation, he argued, was a mere illusion. It was a common embellishment, in fact, of natural illnesses often caused by the devil. So faced with Weyer's evaluation, modern sensibilities are left reeling. The physician's skepticism soon appears to be countered by near incomprehensible credulity in the devil's agency. We are compelled to ask, but what really happened? You know, this is a very interesting story, and there have been a lot of explanations that have been offered for similar reports of demonic possession, often, you know, invoking categories for modern medicine or pointing to the possibility of fraud, even, which was considered seriously by early moderns as well. But this gives us only a limited view of a much larger and more complex landscape of healing in the early modern period. So this was a time in which growing belief in demonic activity in the natural world genuinely shaped the understanding and experience of illness. Now, Weyer's account of the mass possession in Amsterdam was first published as a small part of the broader evaluation of demonic power in the 1568 edition of his book called On the Illusions of Demons. And there we find many such cases that indicate the characteristic signs looked for by professionals who suspected the activity of the devil. So in addition to the physiological, such as physical pain and convulsions, more indicative psychological signs were sought, such as the demonstration of hidden knowledge, prognostication, and xenoglossy, excuse me, couldn't get that word out, which involved speaking in unlearned languages, especially with strange vocal alterations. Now, often reports of demonic possession did indeed include the expulsion of strange objects, such as, in extreme cases, knives or even live eels. But despite those extraordinary symptoms, the diagnosis of demonic afflictions was not always straightforward. So Weyer's work tells us much about the diverse ways in which the devil was thought to operate, both in illusion and reality, and the ways in which this complicated medicine in his time. It complicated medicine in his time. The devil, who was often called prince of this world, was understood to be precisely that. So rather than wielding truly supernatural power, the devil and his demons at the time and in that culture were understood to be restricted to working within nature, which they often did in ways that escaped human understanding. So these natural powers included the ability to manipulate the four humors that were believed to govern health, and this meant that any natural illness, in theory, could be hiding in the hand of the devil as its primary cause. So that's kind of how they looked at it. The possibility of demonic agency would not usually be considered unless natural medicines first proved ineffective, but ineffective medicine was not taken uncritically to indicate a demonic cause. Physical convulsions, for instance, were also associated with natural diseases like epilepsy, which was already understood to be unpredictable, chronic, and potentially incurable. So for physicians, demonic agency was not simply an explanation for an inexplicable cause or an illness. It was one of many possible explanations for illnesses that might in other cases be diagnosed as purely natural. Now, while the activity of the devil might be a speciality of the priest, the psychosomatic symptoms associated with demonic possession also required the physician's expertise to investigate the potential for purely natural causation. So that's kind of how that got started in the time. So what about exorcism? Now, like today, medical diagnosis in the early modern period was fraught with difficulties. So learned physicians were rare and expensive. And in fact, most healing took place in the home and among neighbors, as had been long been the norm. In severe cases, rather than face the uncertainty of a learned physician or worse, the determination that the illness was in fact incurable, most would naturally prefer the succor of the priest, who was far more accessible and often better equipped to help the unwell come to terms with their illness. And indeed, in practice, the boundaries between ecclesiastical healing and medicine were far more fluid than the terms priest and physician might suggest. So these boundaries were regularly traversed in exorcism by lay healers who prescribed both natural medicines and prayer in answer to demonic afflictions. Now, Weyer concluded that the most extraordinary signs of mass possession at Amsterdam were illusory, leaving the remaining symptoms, and therefore demonic afflictions in general, much more accessible to medical intervention. So for him, diabolical agency was a real factor in the subtle negotiations of diagnoses and treatment. Now, what he understood to be the natural mechanisms of demonic activity meant that medical practitioners always had a role in addressing the symptoms of demonic afflictions. So today, more than 400 years on, Catholic priests in America reportedly field requests for exorcisms numbering in the thousands every year. And their first recourse is to mental health professionals, belying continuity with exorcism as it was practiced in Weyer's time. And in this respect, the professionals who confront reports of demonic possession today are in agreement with their early modern predecessors, call the physician first. Now, we as Christians, we as evangelicals, and that's what Alternet has reported on. And I personally would say, now, in a medical emergency like a car crash, yes, get a hold of a doctor, get a hold of an ambulance, but still pray. But I think that our first course of action should be to pray and try to get rid of any evil spirit that might be causing the ailment, because why not? It doesn't hurt anything. Now, in the case of Catholic exorcism or demon, trying to get rid of demons, the Catholic exorcisms, there have been cases where people have been hurt or even killed through that, because it's this whole big deal. But in more evangelical circles, in deliverance ministries and stuff, it usually involves, you know, laying on hands, maybe. Usually in all of it, it involves just, you know, invoking the name of Christ in the authority of his name to command the demon to leave somebody alone. You know, in the name of Jesus, I command any evil spirits to leave this person alone. If there's any illnesses caused by an evil spirit, I command that to be broken. That type of thing. In the name of Jesus. It doesn't even have to involve laying on of hands. Sometimes it does. Sometimes the person who's performing the deliverance will fast for a couple of days or a few days beforehand. There's a biblical precedence for that. But that's about it. You know, it doesn't usually get any more extreme than that. So, you know, I would say if somebody's sick, even if there's a cold, then why not? You know, why not just pray over that person, use the name and authority of Jesus to cast out anything that might be causing it, and then call a doctor. You know, why not? But you know, in other circles, in more Catholic circles, it's flipped. You know, call the physician first, you know, deal with the material part of it first before you deal with the spiritual part of it. And I'm not saying that every cold is caused by a demon. That would be ridiculous. I think sometimes people just get sick. But we have no way of knowing really which conditions are caused or even irritated by demons. So, for example, I used to suffer from sleep paralysis years and years ago. And sleep paralysis, I believe, you know, it is a physical problem, but there's a spiritual component. I believe that while I was dealing with sleep paralysis, there were many times where I would get attacked by demonic entities. I saw them, I heard them. Physical things would be moved in the room, or, you know, it's the thing. I would be shaken physically, things like that. Now, it would be easy for somebody to say that it's all in my head. Fine, fair enough. Now, I will tell you, though, after I learned what the power and the authority of the name of Jesus can actually do to stop this kind of stuff, after that, I spent years without hardly any problems. Sometimes I would have problems, but then I noticed that I was getting sleep paralysis again, and it was getting worse, but it was without the demonic attacks. It was without the shadow people. It was without the voices. It was just the sleep paralysis and a lesser version of fear. And I didn't know what that was. Well, I ended up going on what's called the carnivore diet for 3 months. I only ate meat for 3 months to kind of clean out my system and get rid of all the junk and all the garbage that's in our foods, our processed foods and stuff. So I only ate meat, tried to do organic as best as I could. And I noticed that my sleep paralysis problem went away. Now, on days where I would slip up, let's say I had some beef jerky from the gas station that's loaded with nitrates or something, then it would come back. It would come back in full force. But again, without the shadow people, without the demons, without the voices, it would just come back with the sleep paralysis and the fear. But even the fear wasn't as intense as it had been. So I believe that, and since then, you know, I'm on keto now, but since then I haven't had really any problems. It's only when I slip up. So I slip up in my diet. So I believe it is a physical ailment that's caused by certain things like diet or something like that. But then demonic entities can take advantage of that. They can take advantage of something that's already physically wrong with you. I think that that's part of what this article was trying to get at. So that's why I say, look, let's take care of the spiritual problem first. Using the name and authority of Jesus to just try to cast something out, that's pretty cut and dry. And if it works, then you don't need to call a doctor and spend a whole bunch of money. So there are things like that we can look at. But I believe that in prophetic times, there's going to be a return to paganism. And in paganism, a lot of occultic circles, a lot of the other religions of the world, they will actually pay homage to demons or try to satisfy the demons or satiate the demons so the demon will leave the person alone. They'll give the demons offering. They try to make the demon happy. You know, they don't always look at them as demons. They'll look at them as ghosts or spirits or something like that. But they'll try to make the demon happy to get the demon, like bartering with the demon, trying to reason with it to get it to leave. I think that we might see a resurgence of that kind of thinking because I believe that the world is returning to its pagan roots. And when you read Bible prophecy, you know, we read about this one world religion that's headed up by the false prophet. What could that be? I think that that is a return to paganism. I can see how the current Catholic Church and I don't mean all Catholics. I just mean, you know, like the Pope and the Vatican and a lot of things that the Pope says and the direction that that's going. I could see how it could be headed up by, you know, this more paganized version of Catholicism, even more paganized than what we have now. I could see that happening, or I could see it something being more from the New Age end, or maybe it's a combination of both. So there's various ways to look at it, but I want to know your stories. I want to know your health stories. Have you been able to end illness or stop illness using the name of Jesus? How did that work for you? What's your story? I think that if we get some comments going, this can really help out a lot of people. Have you dealt with sleep paralysis and have you been able to make it stop, or even the alien abduction phenomena? Has that happened to you? Have you been able to make it stop using the name of Jesus? If so, please leave a comment in the comment section below. Tell me your story. Tell everybody else your story. That would be great. I think it can help a lot of people. And before we go, I want to invite you to the Hear the Watch Conference 2019 in Dallas, Texas. It is in March. You're going to have a lot of amazing speakers there. Irvin Baxter, Gary Wayne, L.A. Marzulli. I'm going to be there with Stephen Bancars. I guess we're doing like a dual kind of speaking thing, so that'll be fun because I've never done one of those before. So we'll see how that goes, but that's going to be a blast. If you use the promo code Josh20 when you buy your tickets, you get $20 off of your ticket. There is a link in the description below if you want to check that. Just click there. Or just go to hearthewatchmen.com and you can get your tickets, but use the promo code Josh20. I'm excited to meet you. I'm excited to talk with you, hear what you have to say for a change, and answer your questions if you have any. That'll be a blast. All right, everybody, this has been great. I can't wait to read your personal testimonies, your accounts of this type of thing, whether you've ever had to deal with demon possession and deliverance and exorcism, all this kind of stuff. I'm interested to know what you have to say. So leave me a comment. Keep checking back joshpeckdisclosure.com for more information, for breaking news having to do with Bible prophecy and current events. And until next time, this has been Peck Report. I am your host, Josh Peck. Take care and God bless.